These open doors. A marble slash you see, cross of a fig, written by Just Bill and read by 42 Do Not Panic. This fig is rated M and features the pairing Bucky Barnes slash Clint Barton slash Roy Harper. It is tagged for canon divergence, reference drug addiction, getting together, and emotional hurt comfort. Summary. When Roy hooks up with established couple Bucky and Clint, his mind is being an ass. It's his first real date since starting on his recovery, and they're both nice and hot and all-round perfect, and he's... him. And then he stumbles upon their medicine cabinet. I'm Roy, and I'm an addict. You're looking for more? Hell yes. As soon as they're over the threshold of the apartment, Roy takes his chance and pulls Clint down into a searing kiss. Anticipation has been building low in his gut all through the walk over from the bar. Plus, this seems the best way to avoid any attempt at conversation, or even worse, a house tour. But instead of pouncing on Roy, Clint puts both hands on Ray's face and kisses him slow and deliberate. That's a pretty sight. James says in a low rumble next to them, while pulling off Roy's trucker hat. It's exhilarating having a spectator. It makes Roy want to put on a show and perform. He's always been good at that. He pulls his hair free from the tie and sighs when Clint shifts one hand into his hair, leaning into the touch. Clint's large hand on his face makes Roy feel held in a way he's not used to. It's too soft, too sweet. It's too easy to imagine this means more than a one- or two-time thing. It never does, and it's no good pretending. So Roy counts his hips forward to find some friction and lets his hand roam down from Clint's shoulders, egging him on. Clint moves away from Roy's mouth to kiss along his jaw, and it feels good. Really, really good. More, God, please. A chuckle from James and a huff of breath against the skin of Roy's throat from Clint makes him open his eyes and blush. You're a talker, aren't ya? James smirks. Shit. Roy tries to be better about running his mouth, but he's been high-strung all week, and if someone plays with his hair... He knows his cheeks have turned pink, but he plays it off with a smirk. Is that a problem? It comes out harsher than he wants. More bravado than teasing. He hates feeling off-kilter like this. But James grins and runs his finger through Clint's hair. That makes two of you. And Roy feels Clint smile against his skin before scraping his teeth over that sensitive spot over Roy's collarbone and, fuck, Roy's weak for that too. He tilts his head to give Clint more space and pushes his hand under the hem of Clint's shirt. He groans at the feeling of all that smooth skin. Clint's back is all muscle and strength, sculpted in a way only archers are, unlike Roy's these days. The thought bubbles up unbidden. Roy's never been shy about his body, but now, hooking up with someone as fit and gorgeous as Clint, it's hard not to compare. Roy used to be like this, and no matter that he's working out again and regaining his muscle and doing his best, Roy squeezes his eyes shut and bites the inside of his cheek to stop the litany in his mind of not good enough. It feeds a first little tendril of anxiety, and if he doesn't nip it in the bud... Shut up, brain, damn it. You okay, darling? Roy's eyes fly open. He had almost forgotten about James, who looks at him in concern. Fuck, look what you did now. Clint has pulled back, his expression somewhere between wary and kind. God, pull yourself together, Harper. Yeah, Roy answers, and puts on his best happy-go-lucky smile. Bit overwhelmed, Saul. He turns the smile into a smirk and pushes the hair away from his face. You're both stupidly hot with your whole, you know, everything. He laughs, as easy and carefree as he can muster. They both visibly relax, glance at each other, and then look back at Roy with hunger in their gazes. This is what he's good at. Faking it. Putting people at ease, even if his own mind never allows himself the same courtesy. James steps forward, and Clint makes room but doesn't let go of Roy's waist, rubbing circles over his hip bone. It almost distracts Roy from the way James kisses him, demanding, inexorable. Such a contrast to the careful way Clint did. He smells different, too, of shampoo and soap, like he showered right before coming to the bar. The idea is oddly comforting, like maybe Roy wasn't the only nervous one for their date. Meet up? Was it a date? That is a good view, Clint says, and dips his thumb below Roy's waistband. It's only half an inch of skin on skin, but the promise of it makes Roy shudder and pull James closer. James responds by pushing a thigh in between Roy's legs, pinning him into place. Even down one arm, it's clear he could manhandle Roy into doing his bidding. It's so fucking hot. Roy wants all of it, rutting shamelessly against James' thigh, moaning against James' lips. Clint's hand pulls away, and when Roy looks up, it's to see Clint stripping out of his shirt in one fluid movement, and wow, sweet Joseph and all his carpenter friends, what a view. Good, good view. Clint looks like he was carved by a master sculptor, with his pale skin stretching over perfect muscles. Roy wants to mess him up, to bite him and suck bruises, or at least to nuzzle and lick, to feel if that skin is as smooth as it looks. Leading by example, Clint grins and throws his shirt neatly onto the back of a chair without looking. Show off. Bucky huffs, but it's clearly an endearment, and Roy doesn't miss Clint's pleased smile or the way the tips of Clint's ears turn pink. Clint reaches out to Roy's shirt, but halts, looking for his permission. It's how they've treated Roy the whole night, like he's worth caring for. He wishes they wouldn't. He wishes they would just tear off his pants and have their quick and messy way with him. He's good at sex. He knows how to make people feel good and ignore the voices in his head in one go. But this is too slow. He's not nearly overwhelmed enough to make his mind shut the fuck up. They're showing what he could have had if he wasn't so screwed up in the head. It was really fucking nice to lean into the gentle way Clint cradled his face earlier, though. And now the way James holds him feels overwhelming, constricting. It makes him feel trapped, even if it's all his own mind strapping him in tighter and tighter. You had onions at dinner. It's such a nonsensical thought, such utter bullshit for his brain to come up with that now. And Clint is still waiting, and James pulls back, and any moment now they'll be tired of his hesitation and send him away. Roy shakes his head, bites his lip, and tries for another smile. You guys are something else, Jesus. He tucks his hair behind one ear and blows out a long breath. I think I need some... He points to the direction of the rest of the apartment. In the hurry to get their hands on each other, they never made it beyond the front door. Need to use the bathroom real quick. Clint and James share a look Roy couldn't hope to understand. It's so obvious these two men know and trust each other well enough they don't need many words. Whereas Roy is very bad at ever shutting up. Bathroom's beyond there. James points to the corridor on the other side of the living room. Second door to the left. Towels are in the top cabinet. Roy smiles and thanks, and because he can, he leans in to press a kiss to the corner of James' mouth. He sends them both a salacious smile and hurries to the bathroom. He just needs to splash some water onto his face and get his head back in the game. He'll take the initiative, won't give himself time to think. A stranger looks back at him from the mirror. What a fucking cliché. It's true, though. His cheeks are still too gaunt, his hair is too long, his 5 o'clock shadow too pronounced. He sighs and bends forward to splash water onto his face, rubbing it furiously in a paltry attempt to dispel his thoughts. He reaches out to open the overhead cabinet in search of a towel, but it's the wrong door. He blinks. All his thoughts come to a screeching halt. Between the regular things you'd expect in the oversink cabinet, like toothpaste and aftershave, there's a dozen different kinds of painkillers and opiates. Roy recognizes them immediately. Knows the shape and size of the pills he sees through their translucent orange plastic intimately. He can recite the names on each label, even without pausing to read them. Knows most of the package leaflets by heart. He shakes his head and staggers back. He can't. He drops to the floor with a dull thud, folding his arms around his knees and hiding his face against his legs. Count in boxes of 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. A hitched sob. Muffled against his jeans. 2, 3, 4, out. 2, 3, 4. He bites his lower lip hard and squeezes his eyes shut, willing the image of the bottles away. What kind of moron even looks for towels in the cabinet over the sink? Any preschooler can see they wouldn't fucking fit. He needs to leave, but he can't fucking move without getting closer to the in 2, 3, 4. Yelling at himself on the inside of his mind. Why can't he be fucking normal for once? Keep his head straight. Another sob he can't contain. He's been doing good, dammit. Managing cravings like he was taught. Eating better. Working out. He even visited a pharmacist the other day without too much difficulty. But here? Now? It'd be so easy to swipe a bottle. For emergencies. And from there? The next sob turns into a growl of frustration. And he thumps his forehead against his knees. He's better than this. A soft knock on the door,
Hey, Roy? Clint's voice. You know, when I joked earlier about checking our plumbing, that was a euphemism for sex, right? Not that you're actually checking our plumbing right now. Roy has a shaky laugh despite himself. I'm okay. He lies and wipes over his eyes with one sleeve. He's not. He never will be. And part of the reason is this hookup. He had hoped to get railed within an inch of his life, doze a little, and then leave with his dignity intact. Then they had to be fucking nice about it. Better face the music and get it over with. He heaves himself to his feet, resolutely keeping his gaze down to the floor, and opens the bathroom door. Clint and James stand there, Clint's arm casually slung over James' shoulders. They look curious, but not annoyed, like Roy would have bet on. Roy's worrying with himself about how to lie his way out of this one when he realizes part of his hair is still wet, at the same time Clint does. Couldn't find the towels? Didn't realize you needed a map to our Pleasley-sized bathroom. Clint grins, but then he notices how James is looking past Roy into the bathroom and sees the open cabinet. Oh, are you hurt? He freezes. All his usual loquaciousness evaporated on the face of Clint's worried smile and James' laser focus. He shakes his head and shoves his hand into the pockets of his jeans to hide how much they're shaking. He briefly looks them in the eye before shifting his gaze to his feet. Was looking for the towels, but then saw all your... He looks even further away, down and to the side, and spots the fist where he's hiding them. Hey, it's okay, whatever it is. Then sounds like he means it too. But it's not. It's everything but okay. No, it's... I can't. I'm Roy, and I'm an addict. The pills, they... He huffs, agitated and frustrated, with himself, with the world, with James and Clint and their stupid, perfect wood floor. Who even has mahogany floors in Brooklyn? I'm an addict. He pushes it out, scowling at the floor before looking up at them, chin raised and challenged. I'm an addict, and you guys got a fucking Candyland going on in there, and I can't. He shakes his head. Now that he said it out loud, all fight drains from him as quickly as it came up, and he just feels hollow and tired. Tired of keeping up the charade, tired of acting like he's better than he really is. He likes these men. Had hoped they might even become friends before he panicked and let his dick take the reins, but he just blew any shot he might have had. Oh, Roy. Clint sighs more than he says, and he pulls Roy into a fierce hug. Roy's brain might have overloaded into an error, can't compute lobe. What the fuck? And then James puts his arm around Roy as well, and Roy just leans into it. I'm sorry. He mutters against Clint's shoulders, which makes Clint hug him even tighter. James pulls back, and Roy knows there's even more of that silent communication going on over his head. He moves to straighten, with every intention of leaving, but Clint uses the movement to deftly steer Roy out of the corridor and towards the couch. Behind them, there's a lot of rummaging going on, and Roy hates how his attention automatically goes to the sound of bottles clinking against each other. How he has to press his hands against his stomach to keep himself from doing something colossally stupid, like running back and stealing the meds. He doesn't even fucking want them. But he does. He always will. I'm Roy, and I'm an addict. It distracts him from the wake and all but pushes him onto the couch and sits down next to him. Roy wants to look at him. He wants to climb onto Clint's lap and bury himself against his skin. But his ears are straining to hear every sound and figure out what's going on in the bathroom. Hey. Clint taps against Roy's knee to get his attention. He's putting it in the safe. He says when Roy focuses on him. We'll bring him back to the pharmacy tomorrow or something. Roy nods and folds his hand around one knee, his other leg bouncing up and down. I can go. It's no biggie. I can leave. Save you the trouble. He smiles, then runs a hand through his hair, and grimaces when he finds some strands are still wet. Clint huffs and shakes his head. He's still shirtless, and he pulls a throw from the back of the couch over both of their shoulders. It's such an innocent and sweet move that it hits Roy like a freight truck. This is the exact thing he's been missing desperately. This kind of intimacy, and it hurts how Clint just casually gathers him up in it. Roy has to sit forward and push the heels of his hands against his eyes to keep from bawling. What an absolutely fucking mess he is, almost crying over a blanket. Must have been tough to tell us. Clint guesses, and he sounds like it means something, not some empty platitude. Roy lets his hands drop to look at Clint from askance, gone with the easy smile, the carefree attitude. Instead, Clint grimaces and inhales deeply, clearly struggling with demons of his own, before he finally says, "My dad had a problem with the bottle." He looks down at where his hands are fidgeting with the corner of the blanket, before shooting Roy a quick smile. And now that Roy is paying attention, proper attention, he can tell it's one Roy himself gives other people a lot. "I'm fine. Don't mind me." Roy is at a loss how to respond, but then James comes in and sits down on Clint's other side. He doesn't look angry, but he's clearly not happy either. "Put them away for now," he says, and reaches out to arrange the blanket a little better around Clint's shoulders. "Are you okay to stay like this?" He looks at Roy with a kind of intensity that makes it hard to hold his gaze. Roy feels the need to move away from James' boyfriend, like sharing a blanket is more intimacy than he deserves. He wants to stay here forever. "Yeah, this is fine." He lies. "It's not." He knows the pills are there, and a safe won't really stop him, if he sets his mind to it. But he will have to go through James and Clint, and he would never do that. But he knows he could. "You don't look like it's fine," James points out quietly. Not accusing, just observing the bouncing of Roy's legs and the fidgeting of his fingers. "Nah, this is just me now." Roy sighs, pulling his hair into a messy ponytail to give his hands something to do. "And, you know, with you two looking at me like I'm some special exhibit at the zoo." He trails off, grinning in a way to show it's a joke. "It's not." "You aren't hard on the eyes." Clint picks up the distraction easily, and maybe they can get back to the kissing and the rest of the program. "But you've been freaking out all night, haven't you?" James is like a pit bull, not letting go. Roy shrugs. "He has, but not because of the drugs." "How long have you been clean?" "James," Clint says, quietly warning him not to push. 279 days. Roy rattles off immediately. He hates how he knows, how he's still counting the days. But hey, not the hours anymore. "I'm mostly fine, though." He smiles at James, maybe a little too sharply. "That wasn't..." He shakes his head and turns to Clint. "It's just, you guys are, you know, perfect. With your abs and shit." He grins at Clint, genuinely now. "Holy abs, Batman. And with how sweet you are, and gentle, and then this whole apartment with a..." He holds up part of the blanket. "What kind of threat count is this even?" That's the blanket drop. "And then there's me." He trails off. He doesn't have to list all the ways he can't compare. It's obvious enough, even without them knowing about the shithole studio he's currently inhabiting. Clint narrows his eyes at Roy before smiling. "What I get from that is that you think we're hot and that you like blankets." Roy rolls his eyes, though he appreciates Clint's efforts to make him feel at ease, like James, who's still looking at him like it's a puzzle to solve. "Yeah, but nice and hot, I can handle." Roy trails off again, waving in Clint's general direction. "But you don't think you deserve nice things," James concludes. Roy grimaces. He wishes James wouldn't say it out loud like that. That's a counselor's line, safe to chew on in a clinical office and then hide away behind a smile again for the real world. But it is what made him all but push them into taking him home instead of finishing their ridiculous darts competition. He panicked because Clint and James were so nice to him. Because he was jealous of what they have and he wanted a piece of that. Because his body is usually the only reason people want him. He looks at Clint and James from the corner with his eye. He doesn't understand how they can just sit there and wait him out. But they do. No pressure, no nothing. He wants to wrap himself up in it and never leave. But he knows it won't last and that makes him antsy. So he shrugs instead of answering and folds his hand together to stop fidgeting. But I guess it's neither here nor there, killed the mood quite effectively. He pretends to look at his watch. Time of death, 11:15. Clint snorts and bumps his shoulder against Roy's. "We can just hang out. James makes hot chocolate from scratch." Roy doesn't know what to do with that almost careless way Clint doles out affection. Maybe he even doesn't realize how an offer like that can throw someone out of whack. "I don't get why you would want Roy starts with the whole, you know, he waves the hand as if to encompass his whole freakout adrenaline fucked upness. We do, though. James says firmly, we like you, because you're kind and patient and funny and a mess. Clint says, eyes widening when Roy flinches. Shit, no, not, it's not a bad thing. It's true, though. My issues have issues. Roy folds his arm around himself protectively. I get it. It's fine. What he means to say, James says wryly, is that you fit right in. Cause yeah, you're a mess, but so are we. Welcome to the club. Clint grins a fake grin. Interesting sales pitch. Roy answers dryly, though he can't keep the corner of his mouth from turning up. I'm thinking about making us t-shirts. Pretty disasters. He gestures a rainbow shape in the air with one hand. Or motorcycle jackets. We can be a gang. Clint's eyes shine with mirth, and his smile makes the corner of his eyes crinkle, and he's so damn pretty it takes Roy's breath away. A gang, huh? James asks before Roy can. Best gang. We'll eat pizza every day and ride into the sunset and do biking stuff like that. Clint looks dreamily up at the ceiling until James leans in to press a kiss to his forehead and Clint smiles at him. So, Roy interrupts, discomfort growing again with a display of affection. You'll never measure up. We hang out, and that's it? He knows he shouldn't push for more. This night has been a roller coaster, and he wants to know where it'll end. He's done with surprises. There could be kisses. Clint shrugs. There's that smile again. It doesn't matter to me what you answer. Roy spends a lot of his life pretending not to care about one thing or another. He knows what it looks like. Clint does care, though it baffles Roy why. And there could be dates, James adds. That's the thing people still do, right? He briefly looks at Clint, who nods. Totally, I'd like that. Clint leans back against James' shoulder, looking relaxed, but now Roy knows how to look. There's tension around his eyes, like he doesn't think Roy'll agree. Maybe they're right. Maybe they can be a mess together. Roy shrugs, but feigning carelessness is hard when his heart wants to do a happy dance and attach itself to Clint and James like a barnacle. Sure, I'll join your pizza club, he answered with a crooked grin that's only partly faked. It'll be nice while it lasts.